This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
Tom, you're a cocktail drinker.
Well, I do like one or two.
You like a martini?
Yeah, anything that comes in a pretty glass. I'm all about the glass.
Oh, so it doesn't matter what's in it. It's just the glass.
Well, as long as it's alcohol.
Well, there's some research that says Daniel Craig.
Oh, I've seen him, that overrated spy movie.
Yeah. But his body, you've seen his body.
Oh, yeah.
And that famous shot, you know, where he's in the water.
Getting out his little black shorts.
Little blue shorts.
Were they blue?
They were blue. Great body. But there's some research that says it might be due to the cocktails he drinks.
Oh, so what's he's into the martini shaken, not stirred?
Shaken? Martinis, apparently, according to Italy's University of Palermo, and I like the fact that this research has come out of Italy because it's all about olives. Your martini's sidekick, the olive, can take you one step closer to your beach body goals.
So we're not talking about the drink here. We're talking about the olive.
The olive beside the drink.
See, this is wasting my time. I don't drink to be healthy. You know, if I was worried about my health, I'd go to a gym, not a bottle shop.
But it's true. For the research, healthy volunteers were asked to eat 12 green olives every day.
And where's the drink come involved?
Because there's an olive on the drink.
Oh, okay.
So you could have 12 cocktails and potentially you could neutralise the effect of drinking the alcohol and getting fat.
Well, I can handle that.
At the end of the study, subjects saw their body fat decrease by an average of 1.5 kilograms.
But see, I've noticed if I drink 12 cocktails, people get better looking. They usually lose weight. Do you think it has nothing to do with that? Maybe they're not getting any prettier. The person's just getting drunk.
It's due to the cocktails. And they also, not only did they lose 1.5 kilos in fat, they also put on a kilo of muscle.
Okay. Well, that's the important bit, isn't it? So hold the drink, pass me the olives. No, I say the other way around. Hold the olives, pass me the drink.
Have the drink. Apparently there's this fat in the olives that has been found to have a beneficial effect on our metabolism, so how much energy we burn.
Well, that's really good. That's nice to know. It's done nothing for me. I've learned nothing out of that study. It's ridiculous.
Well, I'm going to give you something else that's apparently good about the olive as well. The fruit is also a great source of copper, which has also been linked to fat loss by scientists from the University of California. So there's two reasons that you can have your olives and you can lose your fat. So if you have 12 olives every day, apparently we'll lose 1.5 kilo of fat.
Oh, that's all right. Well, let's do it. But I'm still going to say the olives take up too much room in the glass. Hold the olives, pass me the martini.
Pass the olives to me.
Yesterday, Warren, I was driving down the street and I saw you heading into Kmart. Very suspiciously. You're looking over your shoulder. I mean, I don't like going to Kmart either. All those mad-made fibres make me itchy. It's really gross. Yeah.
I had to get some batteries.
Oh, for your little friend?
For my little friend needed some batteries. No, my smoke detector at home was beeping or something, telling me that it had a flat battery, so I went in to get some batteries. You know what? The one thing I must say about that store and stores in general, why are the checkouts now in the centre of the store?
Oh, they've moved them away from the front, haven't they?
Yeah. So I went to the front of the store thinking, well, hang on, where have they gone? And they're in the centre. They're in the centre of the store.
Well, they're trying to make everyone feel like a thief. So every time you leave the store, it's like you've stolen something.
Well, that's what it turned out. I found them eventually, and I went and I paid. And then just walk out, and the security guard came up and said, excuse me, can I...
Did he touch your arm?
He didn't touch me up. He said, can I check your bags? And, of course, I showed him, and I had the receipt, and everything was fine. But I felt a little bit like a criminal.
I think that's what they do it for. So you're in an underpaid job. You're underappreciated. So what are you going to do? Get a bit of power, you know? Search everyone that comes through.
Give him some power. So anyway, I ended up chatting to him. He was a nice guy. I said, what's the reason for the, you know, you're here and they're in the centre of the store? And he was saying, he was quite a smart security guard, actually, because he was saying that it's because the centre of the store is normally a dead space.
So they're trying to make you walk the whole store.
They're trying to make you walk the whole store. And normally, apparently, in the old layout, no one really went into the centre. And so it forces people to go into the centre. So the whole store is, you know, efficient as such because you walk right around.
See, I've got a theory that all those places with those multiple fluoro lights, you know, they've got hundreds.
Yeah.
It does something to people's brains. And they switch from being human to these self-centred, horrible people that get these trolleys. Put someone in Terry Towling and give them a trolley and something happens to them.
I wasn't in Terry Towling, though.
There were some man-made fibres on your outfit. I saw it.
There was some man-made fibres. But this security guard, he was actually really, really smart because he was also saying that apparently when people walk in, they walk to the right. It's our habit.
So we go anti-clockwise.
You walk in and you walk to the right and you walk anti-clockwise.
Oh. See, I never think of it that much. Who thinks of it?
Yeah, I'm going to pay attention to it now and see which way, if I walk into a shop, whether I walk left or right. But apparently most of us walk right and then around the perimeter, not so much into the centre, which is why they've done it.
Well, clever Kmart.
Clever Kmart. Now, Tom, you know this whole deconstructed business? You know, you go out and... It's the trendy thing now.
What
is it, the smashed avo and your eggs on the side or what have you? There's a new one that's been spotted. And I reckon it's taken it to new heights now. This is it.
Really?
It must be one of the hardest dishes to create. And they've deconstructed it.
So what, we're talking like pasta carbonara or, you know, lobster Theodore? Is that what you mean?
No, Vegemite on toast.
Oh, no, really?
It's been spotted in a cafe, deconstructed Vegemite on toast. And I saw the photo of it, and so there's a piece of toast, and the Vegemite is smeared on the plate.
So the Vegemite, not even on the toast?
Not even on the toast. It's completely deconstructed, and the butter is beside it. So you've got a plate with a piece of toast, dry toast, two smears on either side, one butter and one Vegemite.
See, that annoys me now. If I'm going out to eat, I'm paying good money. I'm also going where there's hot waiters. I want them to make my food. Don't bring it out. I'm not paying for you to bring it out on a plate and I have to make it. It's like that Korean barbecue and they made me cook it myself. I thought, what the hell? Yeah.
Well, now you can get Vegemite toast. How are you going to get it off the plate onto the toast?
Look, I'm waiting until we deconstruct our boyfriends. You know, can we do that? We can take bits and pieces of the ones we like. That'll be the new form of dating.
And then just add water.
And just add water.
Mix them together. Did you see the AFL Grand Final's going to stay in Melbourne until, I think, 2057?
Unfortunately, I did jump straight over that news bit.
Are you into football?
No, not at all.
Neither am I.
I find watching other people play sport really boring. Like, really boring. Now, look, you know, we know they've got this great show here at Joy, you know, the Chicks Talking
Chicks
40.
That's a really good show.
Those girls do an excellent job. I tried to listen. I don't understand a word they talk about, something about kicking forward, coming back, scrum it down, you know, round the back passage.
I'm the same. I have no idea.
So what's the big deal about Victorian football?
Apparently it's really good because there was a pre-budget announcement by the Premier Daniel Andrews, and $225 million is going to be spent on upgrading one of the stadiums. Plus, they're also going to give $20 million to boost women's football, which I think's great.
Well, that's very popular. It's very big now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's really good as well. But like you, I don't know much about it at all. What about the Commonwealth Games? You've been watching the Commonwealth Games.
No, not at all. No. They're over, aren't they? The only thing I did watch is there was one going on, it's Tom Daley. And we all know Tom Daley, the little out and proud diver.
Yes.
I think he does where they come along and they jump off and make no splash.
Yes, that's right. They just go straight in.
Well, he was doing a double jump with no splash. So he had somebody else with him, like tandem and great. But he had a little slip when he hit the water.
What happened?
Sneaky penis. So, yeah, camera got it. So there's been a few steals going around. So I think that's what we need to do. So we need to honour football in this country. So we should each week do, let's do Dicks Talking Footy.
That's a great idea. So we'll do Dick's talk.
We're not going to mention football. We want to talk about hotties. So I did go through the paper and I found someone called Zach Smith from Geelong. He's very attractive.
Is he?
Very attractive.
We'll have to Google him. There is one sporting race that we do watch and that's the RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, that's a gay sport.
Yeah, but apparently in the US, the gay bars are getting absolutely packed on a Thursday night when it does air in the US and they're all watching it.
So it's like going to the sports bar we all sit there and instead of having a beer, we have a cocktail.
Absolutely. Every week it's getting more packed and then a drag queen at the end usually gives commentary on what has happened, you know, during the commercial break or what have you. But apparently that is the new sport and it's busier than what the sports bars are.
Well, I can understand that because that is a sport. That really is a sport.
Well, it is.
Because they can throw some shade, those girls, can't they?
Don't we have a bar here that does it as well? Is it Molly's Bar?
Molly's. So they have it on a Friday night.
On a Friday night, I think you can go and watch RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, that sounds excellent. I think we'll have to go. Put on a little frocks, a couple of heels, some nice lippy.
Now, wasn't there a bit of controversy, something to do with shoes?
Oh, well, there was, yes, in last week's when they were going through. So who was it, Monet? Was it Monet going through?
Yeah.
And her shoes changed from black to white mid-walk.
She actually changed shoes.
Well, she didn't.
Like with LED lights or
something. I think what it's proved is that when they do the catwalk, it's taken in multiple takes. So she's walking down, walking back, and the shoes went from black to white.
So it's a fraud.
Well, it's the magic of TV. Come on.
Yeah. So everyone's going to go back now and see if you can see the shoe change.
Oh, that's there. Yeah.
So that's the new sport. So anyway, so we're going to talk about sport on here because we're in Melbourne.
We're in Melbourne.
And you're meant to be all about football. So I think we are going to force ourselves to talk about it every week.
Well, no, we're not mentioning the sport. We're just mentioning the hotties.
Okay, all right.
So if anyone sees any sneaky penis that falls out in any sporting matches,
or some tight shorts or something,
send it to our Facebook page and we can talk about it.
Just search Tom and Warren on Facebook. You got chickens, haven't you?
Well, we do. We have about five little... My son doesn't call them chickens. He basically said they're the gayest looking chickens you've ever seen in your life because I've got pickins. Some have got fluffwood feet.
You've got those ones with the little fluffy feet.
We've got a frizzle where the chicken, like the feathers go backwards. Polish, she's got a pom-pom on her head. So they're very cute. They're really cute. But I've had a sick one, which I told you about.
Yeah.
So one of my French breeds, her name's Mrs. Pompadom.
Hang on, what's her name? Mrs. Pompadom.
Mrs. Pompadom. She's French. Okay, of course, okay. Yeah, you know. Oui, monsieur, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Is that French? No, that's not French.
That's not French.
So she's had a bit of a problem. So she's been laying an egg and her vent is what they like to call it, which is a nice way for where it comes.
Is that called a vent?
The vent, yeah. And so it's actually fallen out. So I went to the vet and he said, look, we can fix this up. So give me a glove.
Right.
And a little bit of hemorrhoid cream, and I just, every morning, I just slip the vent back in.
Really?
Well, after I wash it and all of that, it's very clean.
So she had hemorrhoids, did she?
Well, I don't know if it's hemorrhoids. I think it's just, you know...
Too big an egg.
Yeah, too big an egg.
Oh, are eggs good? Are they nice?
Yeah, they're really good. Look, she's getting better now. For 5 days, I've been washing it and putting it back, and so it all seems to be holding itself in.
Poor chook. What's her name again? It's...
Mrs. Pompadom.
Mrs. Pompadom. Mm. Oh. Now, in the UK, apparently elderly residents are being treated with chooks.
What? So you got to, like, sit there and pat a chook?
Yeah, they pat chooks.
They poop all over you?
No, there's a whole campaign. It's called the Hen Power Program.
Mm.
And they're given chooks to look after. And it's 12-month study shown that it reduces the incidence of depression and also the need for medication.
Why?
I don't know. It gives them a sense of responsibility, I guess, a sense of purpose. Maybe they like looking after the, you know, where the eggs come out.
Well, that's really good. So if it was a gay nursing home, you'd only have roosters, wouldn't you? Because we all like to be surrounded by a cock or two, yeah. Don't we?
She's best known from the hit TV show The Block, came back to win The Block All-Stars. She's had a top 10 album, The Lighthouse. Wow. And is currently performing in the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Amity Dry, welcome to Joy.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Excellent. Now, before we start off, Amity, I want to apologise for creepy Andy in the corner.
Right.
We're not quite sure what he does or why we have him here. He's here. I find it best don't make eye contact. Like a wild dog.
Noted.
No eye contact. But of course, we're going to have to start off about where you came from, The Block.
Yes.
Yeah. And you've season one with the gay guys, Woz and Gav,
who just got married.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like a few weeks ago.
Well, congratulations, boys.
Yeah, so happy for them.
I mean, they were Australia's first gay couple, not playing...
On television, yes.
Not playing a part.
Yeah. It was a really, really big deal at the time. And I don't think we realised... It didn't really occur to me how big a deal it was until it went on air and, you know, there was all these interviews about it. And, yeah, it was quite groundbreaking to have a real-life gay couple on TV, which I'm really proud of to be part of that.
Excellent. No, it was really good. Considering the pissy little units that you did have to do up compared to the mansions they have to do now.
And they were so dodgy too. Like now, these days, you know, they're $2 million apartments. They have to be really high quality. But we had no idea what we were doing. Like they were really dodgy back in those days.
Do you still renovate?
I built a house 2 years ago, which was great, but I don't have much time these days I'm kind of traveling around the world doing shows, which is definitely more fun than renovating.
Definitely, because your first show, you know, went to New York, was it Mother, Wife
and the Complicated Life. Yeah, so it was in the New York Musical Theatre Festival and then it played in Norway, so I got to go to Norway and then we just did a workshop and showcase of it on the West End last year, so I got to spend 6 weeks in London and now it's in development for a UK tour next year.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I have checked it out. There's some great songs in there and some great hand actions too. I was watching you spinning them hands around.
A bit of jazz hands.
Jazz hands, yeah.
Yeah, it's been that show has been amazing. You know, it was, I sort of wrote it in a little break of my career, what I thought was a break to take time off and have a baby and just hang at home for a while, and then I wrote this show that ended up taking me all around the world. So it's been amazing.
Fantastic.
Now, Amity, tell us about your show in the comedy festival. It's called 39 Forever.
It is. Yeah. So I was 38. I was coming up to my 39th birthday, and I was kind of freaking out about it, and just couldn't sleep one night, and got up and started writing all these things I felt about it, and then spent 4 hours writing, and woke up and thought, oh, I've got to take the kids to school, and took the kids to school, and then wrote all day. And by the end of that day, I was like, I've got a new show here, 39 Forever. Yeah. And it was just about all the things that I felt about going into this next stage of my life and what that feels like and how image obsessed society is now. And so often women hear this message that you become invisible after 40. And I was like, I don't really want to be invisible. So, you know, what does that mean? And yeah, I did it in the Adelaide Fringe Festival last year and sold out 15 shows. So it was this massive success because women just really related to it. And there was like 80 songs and 90 sing-alongs, and so lots and lots of fun. And now here I am having my comedy festival debut.
Congratulations. And so you started last night?
Yeah, opened last night at Chapel Off Chapel. Really great show. It was super fun. So now I'm on there from tonight till Sunday night.
So your last show had three other people on stage.
Yes.
Is it just you?
This one's just me, yeah. So Mother Wife started off as a cabaret show, and then because it did so well, I turned it into a musical. But this one's just me, well, myself and my musical director, Jamie Burgess, on stage, who's my little wingman. So we have so much fun. It's the most fun I have ever had.
So you have a penis on
stage. I do have a penis on stage.
A penis.
Yes, yeah.
I
have a penis and a pianist in the same thing. Yeah, and he's so fun, and it's the most fun I have ever had on stage.
Because it's great. I've seen in there, so there's a few old songs, like you said, and you've got two original ones in there as well.
I do, yes. So the show closes with two of my original songs. Like, it's a lot of fun. There's a bit of New Kids on the Block.
New Kids on the Block.
There's some Kylie. There's some Alana. So it's kind of, it's a step back through my 40 years and all of the musical touchstones from those moments, because you know when you hear a song, it just instantly takes you back to that time in your life. And I love when audiences sing along and I can see them looking at each other like, oh, I remember this song, I remember how I felt. So yeah, it's really fun.
We're talking about image. We were talking last week about a woman who's, I think was in Russia, wasn't it, and she said running in the snow naked and makes you look younger.
Oh really? I will have to try maybe my next promo shot.
I mean, cause that's all about your show, about, you know, staying young forever.
Yes.
Because we've got Victoria Beckham, who uses bird poo on her makeup.
Right,
We've also got Christie Brinkley, who uses kitty litter to exfoliate.
Listen, if Christie Brinkley does that, I'm totally using kitty litter to exfoliate because she looks phenomenal. Well, if that's what it takes, I'll do it.
So what is your secret? What, do you use a Black & Decker? You know, something you
just
stole from Scott Cam?
Just on the skin to suck it up. Yeah. I tell you, it's like suddenly I'm like, I need to buy that expensive cream. Like, it's all fine up until 40 to buy the cheap stuff, but all of a sudden I'm like, I've got to get me some expensive stuff now.
I'm turning 50 this year, very quietly. 49 I am, and I have bought since 40 to 49 every one of those magic $139 creams. You know, instant freeze. None of them work.
Yeah. Oh, so I have read about this thing. I can't even remember what it's called, but it's like ultra light therapy that is apparently amazing. And I'm like, I totally want to do that, but it's $1,500. And I'm like, if you spend $1,500 and it doesn't work, how annoyed are you going to be?
Absolutely.
Like, that's a big investment.
What do you do, just stand in front of a light bulb or something?
I wish. That and kitty litter. That's what I'm going to be doing.
What you're going to do. But there is a serious side, isn't there, to our online image.
Yeah.
And the pressure.
Absolutely. And this is what I say in the show. Like, when my mum was turning 40, she didn't have to look like a MILF. She was just 40, and now you're a mother of two, and now you're expected to look older. When my nana was turning 40, she looked old for a decade, right?
They did, didn't they?
Now I've got to be like hot and look good on Instagram and have like these duck lips. And there is no limit to when women, you know, we have to keep looking hot forever in order to stay relevant. And it's ridiculous. And part of me wants to just completely resist that and go, no, take me seriously for what I have to say. But then if you don't look good, society's like, well, we don't want to listen to what you say anymore. So it's really, it's this kind of which way do I take? You know, you still want to look cute and you still want people to think you look cute, but then you want to be taken seriously as well. So it is a juggle for women, and, you know, especially as you get to this next stage.
It's the same for us gay boys, don't you worry.
I know, well, gay guys and women are the same.
We're not going to judge, but bitch, I'm judging those shoes. Let me tell you that.
So, Amity Dry, thanks for talking to us. So, your show's at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. It's Chapel Off Chapel. It's tonight through to Sunday.
Correct.
8:30, Friday 7 p.m, Saturday 8:30, Sunday 6 p.m. Tickets at chapeloffchapel.com.au.
Make sure you go. We love a good cabaret.
Come and see it. It's great fun.
One of Britain's biggest supermarket chains wants to eliminate stress from meat touching.
Really?
Yep, and is launching touch-free packages of meat.
So what do you mean you don't have to touch the meat?
You don't have to touch the meat. Sainsbury's says that its new chicken packaging will allow dry-heaving home cooks to slide the meat directly from the plastic pouch into the pan.
See, my brain hurts. I don't understand. What do you mean you don't touch the meat?
No, it will not require them to place a single finger on a piece of glistening poultry flesh.
Do you know what? Thinking about it, I mean, the young millennials, is that what we're talking about? They have grown up in the world of, you know, sexually transmitted disease. You know, condom on everything. Maybe this is just
on your chicken as well.
Maybe this is just the next step.
The chain decided to change its packaging after a marketing research survey revealed that 37% of millennials said they preferred not to handle raw meat while they cooked their meals.
Well, you know what? I don't want to date any of those 37% of millennials.
And then the product development manager said customers, particularly younger ones, are quite scared of touching raw meat. I didn't realise it was such. I mean, you wash your hands.
So we're all scared of the E. coli or...
I think so. She said the supermarket's 20-something customers are freaked out because they're used to eating out and they just prefer someone else to cook for them.
But it goes back to their mothers. We're so addicted now to, you know, Pino clean this and we've got to wipe that. I brought my children up on a dirt floor in some mud hut. You don't need all that vitamins. You dropped on the ground, pick it up, wipe it off.
And I bet you they don't have allergies and things.
No, they'll never sick.
See, and so the supermarket also said that one focus group participant admitted to spraying an antibacterial disinfectant on a plate of chicken before she prepared
it. So she put it on the meat before she cooked it.
She sprayed the chicken before she cooked it.
See, those people deserve to go hungry. They do not deserve to eat.
She probably poisoned her guests. Oh, yuck, you taste it. What if it was that pine one? That's it for us.
Thank you very much for having us again.
Thank you, Tom. We're back next week. If you want to see us on Facebook, you can search Tom and Warren on Joy, or you can follow us on Twitter at Tom and Warren, or you can listen to our podcast at joy.org.au. Andy, the guy who sits in the corner and says nothing, is going to put it up soon.
Yeah, he has got a job. We're not quite sure. But at the end of today, I think we need to have a meeting about Andy because it's starting to...
He just sits there.
It's worrying me. It's getting creepy. Yeah.
Wake up with Tom and Warren, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.